Hello, good morning. Good morning, church. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. This is not my first time. I believe it is my third time here, right? And so good to be here with all of you. Such an honor, a great joy to be in one of the incredible churches in Malaysia. Seriously, this is one of the best churches in Malaysia. Now, so this morning, I want to begin with something powerful, contagious, yet dangerous. Because this morning, I want to talk about durian mission. yes, you heard me, okay? That spiky, smelly, and glorious fruit that split humanity into two camps, okay? Those who treat it like a gift from heaven, and those who treat it like it needs to be cast out, right? Now, how many of you are durian lovers? Please pull up your hand. Any durian lovers? Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Now we speak the same love language, all right? All right. So the rest of you need deliverance. So after service, we will pray for healing. I know Dr. John Gok, he's a durian lover. He loves durian. Reverend Caleb, I believe he's a durian lover too. How about me? Do you think I love durian? I store 6 to 7 boxes of durian in my freezer. That's how much I love durian, okay? Now, I'm serving at in Hillside Baptist Church in Penang. And you know what? Penang Lang, they love durian crazily, okay? And I was told there's a new hotel, okay, coming up next year, 2027, a durian-themed hotel. So crazy, right? Penang Lang, they love durian, okay? Now, think about it, 50 years ago, you know, durian is not that popular. But today, people are waiting for durian season, like Malaysia is having a national revival. But you see, my friends from Singapore, he is willing to spend 1,000 to 2,000 ringgit just to taste the anointed black thorn, and then Musang King, Tupai King, or whatever king, okay, red prawn, okay? And it doesn't stop there. Singapore wants our durian. China wants our durian. Hong Kong wants our durian. And here's the funny part. Even the countries that used to say, "Ew, what is that smell?" Today they ask, "Where can we buy more durian?" You know, so crazy. And people even try to smuggle durian into their country. And you know what? Durian is a lot like the gospel. People either love it or avoid it. But one thing is for sure. You can't forget that smell. It leaves a lasting impact. It stays with you. Whether you like durian or not, it stays with you. And here's the thing. Jesus called us to be like that. And thankfully, not to be a durian agent, but to be a gospel durian. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And Paul says, "To God, we are the," everybody say with me, "aroma of Christ, and among those who are saved, and among those who are dying." And you know what? If Paul were a Penang Lang, I think he would have written, "We are the aroma of Penang white coffee." Right? Penang white coffee. So when two or three believers sit down together for a coffee, when someone walks past your life, you know, people should smell the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of Jesus' love, grace, and truth. Because when Jesus is in the midst, people don't just see a group of Christians enjoying a cup of coffee or a fellowship, but they smell the aroma of Christ. They sense that something divine is at work. And that's what you and I are called to be, the aroma of Christ to everyone. And we are to carry the aroma of Christ to the food court, to the offices, to your workplaces, classroom, neighborhood, and yes, to all the nations. And that's exactly what Jesus called us to do. Now, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples went to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus told them to go. Then on the mountain, they saw Jesus. And you know what happened during that time? When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. They bow down and worship him. But, okay, listen carefully. There's a word, but. But some of them doubted. And I love that detail, okay, recorded in the gospel. Because God doesn't wait until all your doubts are gone before he commissioned you. Some were worshiping the Lord and some were still figuring it out. Is that you really, Jesus? You are the resurrected Christ? And some of them are still doubted. And Jesus didn't separate the group. Okay, strong faith believers, please line up here. And the rest of you doubters, please go outside, all right? because you are not ready. Come back when you have stronger faith. Come back when you are ready. And maybe let's do a few more years of preparation and training. But Jesus looked at these people. Jesus looked at these ordinary people, imperfect people, and some still doubting. Fishermen, tax collector, and he gave them the great commission. He empowered them. Now, this was Jesus' final words before he ascended to heaven. It is a clear mandate to his disciple. So Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came and told his disciple, I have been given what? All authority, all right? All authority in heaven and on earth. On the way to the Penang Airport, I saw a traffic police standing at a busy junction. And he raised his hand. You know what happened? All the cars stopped. Not because he has superpower, not because he's a superman, okay? But because he has authority. Now imagine this, okay? Imagine me doing the same thing, okay? Standing at the busy junction, a busy road, okay? In the middle of the road, I raise my hand. You know what happened? Oh, I guess probably all the car would stop only to scold me. You gilaga. Who do you think you are, huh? Do you think you're a policeman? I believe the next 5 minutes I'll be on social media. I'll be famous, you know. Why? Because I have no authority. Not only I have no authority, okay? People will say, I have no sense. This gila person, right? Standing in the middle of the road and raise his hand, okay? But Jesus, with authority, okay? Jesus say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he speak with authority. Now, the Greek word for authority is the word exousia, okay? And that means power. His authority and power includes the power to rule, to reign, to forgive sin, and to break chains, and to save us from eternal judgment. He has power. He has authority. Now, I want to jump to the things that Christians, because every time we talk about the Great Commission, we immediately jump to the things that Christians are called to do. Okay? Now, many believers miss this part. The Great Commission begins not with a task. It begins with who Jesus is, who has all authority and power in heaven and on earth. So that means no political leaders, there's no religious figures or VIP, a billionaire, economic power stands above him. So with authority and power, he gave the Great Commission to his disciple. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Okay, let's read the yellow font, okay, the yellow words together. Okay, so therefore, go, make disciples, baptizing, and teach. Let's do it again, okay? Go, make disciples, baptizing, and teach. Now, so these are very important words, okay? So right now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are commissioned by Jesus. You are commissioned by Jesus. You are authorized. You are empowered by our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples. And Jesus said what? Go. All right? Jesus said go. Now, the Greek word go is the word poiomai. It means as you do life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to gym, as you play pickleball, as you are eating with friends, as you do life, Jesus say, go and make disciples. So that means every step, every conversation, every place you go with intention, you go with purpose, you go with the awareness that you are being sent, you are commissioned, you are empowered, you are authorized, you are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples. So that means this is not a one-time mission trip. This is not a checkbox, and this is not a once a year evangelism month or mission month, but an ongoing, intentional way of living where we obey and actively carry the Great Commission. Now, Jesus didn't say, go if you are a pastor. Go if you are a missionary. Go if you are theological trained. Go if you are a Bible teacher. Now, listen up. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that means you are in Jesus' WhatsApp group. All right? So please don't mute Jesus' command. Jesus say, go. Now, have you ever walked through a shopping mall and then you encounter a salesman? Hello, sir. Good morning. Good afternoon. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Do you own a house? All right? And suddenly you cannot hear anything and you just quietly just keep walking. Then you encounter another person. Hello, sir. Good morning, sir. Hello, sir. Do you have a credit card? And all of a sudden, right? You close your eyes and keep walking. Hey, sir, got free gift or got free luggage. Right? Then all of a sudden, your walking speed increases by 50%. You see, sometimes, okay, that's how people feel when Christians approach them. Okay, when people share the gospel with a stranger. Now, I once heard a guy who decided to get bold in evangelism. So he walked to a stranger, full of courage. Hello, sir, in the shopping mall. If you were to die tonight, would you think that you would go to heaven? The man stared at him. Hello, give me a break, lah. Why are you so intense, you know? You see, sometimes we make evangelism weird, you know. You see, the problem isn't that we talk about Jesus. The problem is sometimes we talk at people before we learn to talk with people. You know what I'm trying to say? They look at how Jesus shared the gospel. He made friends. He initiated conversations. He invited people. His favorite phrase, come and follow me. He ate with people, with sinners, with tax collectors, with ordinary people. He invested in them. He taught them. He told stories and parables about the kingdom of God. He cared for them. He shared. He fed them. He prayed for them. And now he called us to go and make disciples. But sadly, many long-term Christians have quietly turned the go into a no. You know what? Today, over 2.6 billion people identify as Christian. And yet many of them, I believe, they still need to be re-discipled or recommissioned. You see, somewhere along the way, the church stopped going. And we have lost the art of reaching out and making disciples. So this morning, I want to ask you, has the Great Commission become the great omission in your life? Have we let convenience, complacency, or cultural pressures, or society pressures mute our witness? And maybe you say, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm not gifted in evangelism. You know, Pastor, I'm an introvert, okay? I'm paisa, okay? Or Pastor, I'm not trained. I'm not qualified. Now, listen, if you ever felt unqualified, full of doubt, a little broken, or felt like a total nobody, you know what? Congratulations. Why? Because you are exactly the kind of person Jesus loved to call, equip, commission, and empower. And he didn't choose the disciple because they were qualified or because they were the best of the best. They chose them. He chose them because they were willing to follow Jesus. Not because they are ready, not because they are qualified, because they are willing to follow Jesus. So now the question isn't, are you ready? The real question is, are you willing? Are you willing to fulfill the Great Commission? Now, listen up. You don't have to be an expert, okay, or an extrovert to bring someone to Jesus. And you don't need to be a pastor to preach the good news of Jesus. And you don't have to wait until you know everything to make disciples. You can make disciples. Now, everybody say with me, start where you are. Exactly. Start where you are with the faith you have, with the people already around you, with the spiritual experiences or lessons God already brought you through. Start where you are and make disciple. Because disciple making isn't about having all the answer. It is about pointing people to Jesus. It is about leading people to Jesus. It is helping people to follow Jesus. See, we do not convert people. Nowhere in the scripture says that the church is called to convert people to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to transform lives. Only the Holy Spirit can change someone's life when they surrender their lives to Jesus. But we are called to make disciples. Now, so this morning I want to share with you some simple, practical and powerful ways to lead someone to Jesus. I'm going to make second half of my message as practical as possible. And I hope this message would encourage you, will inspire you to start sharing Jesus this way. So let's learn together, okay? If you are taking note, here's the first one. Number one, relate as a friend. Relate as a friend. You see, sometimes we overcomplicate evangelism. Reaching out to non-believing friends can be as simple as being a good friend. You just show up with an open heart. Be present. Talk to people, okay? Show interest in the story. Now, not long ago, I make a new friend, and he's not a Christian, and we talk about work, we talk about economy, we talk about politics, and we talk about property, and we ended up talking about life purpose. So we talk about a lot of things, okay? Basically, everything under the sun, okay? And here's the funny part, okay? We talk, okay, for over 45 minutes outside of my condo. He's a stranger, okay? I have no idea who is this guy, okay? But somehow I bumped into this guy, and then we got this opportunity to talk, okay? For 45 minutes, okay, without even realizing it. And it was almost midnight, okay? No preaching, no if you were to die tonight, okay? Just purely friendship, okay? Just talk. Now, there's another friend I make, a guy from the Middle East, and he lives in Penang. Again, he's not a Christian, and we met a few times, and we had a meaningful conversation. At one point, he was jobless, so I pray for him. And you know that I'm a pastor, so I didn't share the gospel, okay? But I pray for him, and I encourage him, and I help him to find a job. And again, no sermon, no pressure, okay? And this guy, okay, somehow he could. We have this close relationship, and he attends our church. He's not a Christian yet, okay? And here's the thing, okay? I didn't preach, repent, and sin no more. Otherwise, you go to hell. Right? And so, you got to connect with people relationally like Jesus. And I believe that Christians must first learn how to make friends before they can make disciples. So, let me ask you, who are you connecting with this way? Can you think of at least three friends? All right, right now? Okay? Who are you connecting with this way? So, relate as a friend. So, that is the first step, okay? So, now number two. This is very practical, okay? Everybody love it. This is very effective. Number two, eat with your friend, okay? Come, let's go makan. And Jesus did this most of the time. He shared meals with all kinds of people, in big groups, in small groups, with sinners, with tax collectors, fishermen, with everyone, okay? So if Jesus were in KL today, he would be passing roti canai, pouring teh tarik, kurang manis, right, for everyone at the table. See, before people open their hearts, they usually need to open their mouths with food. So there's something powerful happens when you eat together. Walls come down, hearts open, and real conversation begin. I remember having a meal with a brother. Right in the middle of the meal, you know, he almost broke down and he started sharing his struggle. You see, sometimes a meal together speaks louder than 1,000 sermons. God meets people at the table. You remember Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus, this short guy, okay? And he was one of the head tax collector. He was a short man, and then he climbed the sycamore tree. And Jesus looked up, and he didn't yell at this guy, "You sinners," but he's called his, "Hey, bro, come down. I want to go to your house. Let's go makan, okay? I want to go to your house. Let's makan, let's talk, okay?" And you know what? His life was totally transformed. So let me ask you, who is at your table this way? And who are you inviting this way? Come, eat with me, or come over for coffee. Now, imagine this. Every Sunday, right after church, every believer calls their non-believing friends and say, "Hey, do you want to have lunch together after church service?" You call your non-believing friend. And imagine this, okay, Christian, all over KL, okay, using lunch tables as mission field. Let me say this again. Using lunch table as mission field. Restaurant, cafe, okay, mamak tables, filled not just with food and laughter, but with genuine friendship. And here's the thing you need to remember. The church doesn't just gather on Sunday. The church scatters with purpose. With purpose. Making disciples often begins around the table. Now, do you remember Jesus ate with his disciple? And right in the middle of a meal, Jesus got up and he wrapped a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet. You see, ministry often happens in a circle, not rows. All right? So number one, relate. Number two, eat together. Number three, okay, ask caring question. All right? Number three, okay, ask caring question. Now, people who ask are people who care. All right? Let me say this again. People who ask are people who care. Now, when you ask, you listen. You listen to care. You listen to understand. don't listen to reply. All right? So that's not listening. Now, we are living in a world where people are so quick to give advice, suggestions, and solution. Now, I'm guilty of that, okay? So many times I have to apologize to my wife. I'm sorry, okay? So many times, even in church ministry, I have to tell myself, shut up, pastor. Listen, okay? Listen. It is so important, okay? Listen to the story. Listen to the struggles, work pressures, life disappointment. And when you listen with compassion. You care for them. You comfort them and be with them. You see, ministry is not about being perfect. It is about being presence. Okay? Let me say this again. Ministry is not about being perfect. It is about being present. And do you know how many lives, that many lives are touched and transformed over a simple meal and a heart that listen? So friends, ask caring questions. Ask questions like, what has been on your heart lately? Are you doing okay? You look tired. Is there anything I can help you? So ask caring question and never underestimate the power of asking and listening. And people would open their hearts to Jesus through your ears, all right? So after you listen to the story, and then next, you connect true story. You share your story. So after listening their story, now is your turn to share your story. You connect true story. And you can simply say, you know what, thank you for sharing your story. Okay, you know what, I have gone through something similar, all right? And do you mind if I share my story with you? Now, there are four simple things that you can talk about. Number one, you share what God has done in your life. So when you share, be real, be honest, and tell them what you were facing and how God helped you. And you can say things like, you know what, I used to struggle with, you fill in the blank, but God helped me through. I worry about, you fill in the blank, but God gave me peace. I was weak, but God strengthened me. And show them that Jesus is real in your life. Show them that Jesus is real in your struggle and how God helped you. And do you know that sharing your weakness is actually a strength? Sharing your weakness builds community and connections. But showing your strength actually creates competition, not community. So God wants to use your weaknesses to build someone. And your weakness is a powerful bridge to bring someone closer to Christ. Number two, the second thing that you can share is share what you have learned. You see, from time to time, my social media friends share life hacks and wisdom. Basically, free advice that I never asked for, but often needed, okay? They almost every day, a lot of my social media friends, they will share something with me. And I have learned this many years ago, how to fold a fitted bedsheet. You know how to fold a fitted bedsheet? Anyone? you must learn this. This is very good, very effective, okay? Now, and then, do you know how to fold a t-shirt in 5 seconds? Anyone of you know? In 5 seconds, okay, one person only. Yeah, in 5 seconds. I learned this from my friend in seminary. That was 25 years ago, okay? I learned it from my friend. Until today, I'm still using this technique. Until today, I'm still teaching someone, okay, how to fold a t-shirt, okay, in 5 seconds. So after service, talk to me, I'll teach you how. And here's the thing, okay? We forward many life hacks, okay, to our friends. We get excited to teach others all the stuff that we have learned, okay, or something that our friends have forwarded to us. And why not we teach others about God's biblical principles, truth that have shaped your life and helped you grow. Lesson from scripture, from the Bible about relationship, about sex, about marriage, about communication, stewardship, finance. There's so many things. The Bible speaks into all these areas. So we get wisdom from the Word of God. So friends, brothers and sisters, don't wait until someone's marriage is collapsing. Don't wait until they are drowning in debt. Don't wait until someone gets sick and weak. There's so many things to share. So friends, reach out now with love and wisdom. And here's the thing, you don't have to know everything to share with your friend. And you can say things like, you know what, last week I learned something from my pastor, from my Bible study group, or something that I have learned recently, and it has helped me. And maybe, all right, it might encourage you too. So keep it short, simple, and your sharing could encourage someone to have faith in Christ. So these are the things that you can share, okay? You can reach out when I say go and make disciple, you can reach out to non-believing friends. Number three, share your godly passion. So as you grow closer to God, He ignites passion in your heart. All right? Passion for the things that He cares about. It might be a passion for a problem, a purpose, a principle, or a people group. So whatever it is, you feel the calling to make a difference, and you keep talking about what you care about most. Now, in my church in Penang, I've seen how God uses ordinary people with extraordinary passion. One of my church members, he has a heart for the Penang Hokkien community. And so he started they call it the Kawan Ministry many years ago, simply creating friendship, providing meals and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And he invites people to join this mission, this community work of making friends and sharing testimony. And you know what? Even non-believers join this mission and serve the community. And many people came to know Christ through this Kawan Ministry. There's another lady carries a deep compassion for the elderly and a college student, all right? A Korean lady, all right? He has the passion to serve the elderly, okay? And also the college student. What a big gap. College student, okay? And so she visits her old folks home twice a week. And she reaches out to college students and brings her friends along with her. Now, these are real stories, okay? I'm not sharing this just because I want to illustrate a point. But these are real stories, real people, real passion that has led others to Christ. So maybe your passion isn't preaching. Maybe it's teaching English. Or maybe providing meals. Or caring for the sick. Praying for the weak. Or coaching others in managing time, talents, and resources. So whatever God has placed in your heart, that very passion can become a doorway for someone to encounter Jesus. So whatever you're doing, don't do it alone. Bring someone with you. I always love to copy Jesus' phrase, come, follow me. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, come, follow me. So in Penang, we always like to say this, don't say I bojo you. All right? Come, follow me. So whatever you're doing, whatever ministry, okay, always invite someone to follow you. Okay, number four, share how Christ has changed your life. So this one, all right, basically share your testimony. Your testimony of I was, but now. All right, everybody say, I was, but now. Okay, I was, but now. So that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. I was a persecutor, but now I'm a preacher of the gospel. I was, but now. And Paul went everywhere just saying, I met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he changed my life. So, brothers and sisters, share your testimony. I was, but now. I was lost, but now I'm fine. I was blind, but now I'm see. But don't stop there. You got to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You got to share the gospel, all right? Gospel means good news. And this is the best news. Gospel, okay? God created us to be with Him. God loves you. God loves me. God loves everybody. But here's the problem. Our sin separates us from God. And sin cannot be removed by good deeds. And paying the price for our sin, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Amen? Simple yet powerful. Everyone can make disciple. Okay? So let me give you this framework, okay? Listen to the story. That's number one. When you ask caring question, you listen. Then, when this opportunity arises, then you share your story. And make sure you share God's story, the gospel. Okay? You listen to the story, you share your story, and you share God's story. So this is what I've been doing, okay? I've been teaching my church using this method. Listen to the story, share your story, and then God's story. So if you study the church grew not by great preaching. It grew because ordinary people share story. Now, there were no church building, no pulpits, no stages, no worship team, and nobody even had a Bible. So, how did Christianity grow? How did Christianity grow? So, basically, everybody gossip. Everybody gossip the gospel and share the story. And they talk about Jesus, okay? And they share what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have learned, what they have experienced. And the world was changed. So, let me give you 3G. Go, gossip, the gospel. All right? Go gossip the gospel. All right. Okay, so number one, relate as a friend. Number two, you eat with a friend. Number three, you ask caring questions. Number four, you connect true stories. And the final step, this is very important, you help them to take the next step. Don't just make friends. Don't just makan. You got to invite people to accept and follow Jesus. And you got to be bold and ask them, do you believe in Jesus who died and rose again to save you from your sin? And if they say yes, you lead them to Christ. You lead them to pray and invite them to follow Jesus. You got to be bold. Don't be afraid to ask. And you never know, today could be the moment they say yes to Jesus. So when they say yes, then you teach them about baptism. Baptism is the next step. Baptism is an outward declaration of your inward decision to follow Jesus. And if they say yes, talk with your pastor and then baptize them. It is part of the Great Commission. You are called to do that. And Jesus also said, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So that means we got to invest in people's life deeply. You got to teach them the word of God. You got to help them to understand the will of God. And then you have to equip them to do the word of God. The word of God, the will of God, and the word of God. So start small, okay? Gather a few people for a meal and study God's word together and discover the will of God in the God's word, okay? And then do God's word together. Put faith into action. Very simple and practical, right? Then Jesus said, go make disciples of all the nation. Everybody say, all the nations. All right? All the nation. Now, the word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos, which literally means ethnic groups or people groups. And here's the amazing part here. The nations are right at our doorstep. In Malaysia, there are so many Thais, Nepalese, Hong Kongers, Koreans, Japanese, Bangladeshis, Indonesians, Sri Lankans, Americans, Australians, you name it. See, local and global missions are right here in Malaysia. And God has brought the mission field to us. The mission work is right here, right now. And don't just think local and global. You got to think cross-cultural. And Jesus is not just talking about crossing borders. He's talking about crossing comfort zone to reach people who may look different or speak differently, eat differently, or even smell differently, or even believe differently. But there's more. Don't just think local. Don't just think global, cross-cultural. You got to think generational. We must reach the next generation. Amen. We must engage them. We must invest in them. Because if we don't do something now, we lose the next generation. And this is already happening in many countries and many churches. And I believe that we can do this together. God placed you here in Desa Pakka City, KLBC, for a purpose, for a reason. And He surrounded you with people from different walks of life. And He gave you passion. He gave you spiritual gift. And now He commissioned you with a mission. And now He's calling you to step out and reach out. Church, let us go and make disciples, baptize and teach them. Today, how many of you bold enough to step forward and say to the Lord, Lord, here I am, send me. How many of you bold enough and step out and say, Lord, today I want to step out. Here I am. Send me. And I believe that many Christians would pray that prayer. Lord, here I am. Send Pastor Caleb. Not me. Ayo, this Great Commission. Too big, lah. Okay. Too great. I cannot. Lah. Okay. This one is definitely for Pastor. We commission a missionary. Okay. We support missionary. But this one is not for me. But listen to the final words of Jesus. And He said this. Okay. Let's read together. Okay. Next slide. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's read again, okay? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that means He will be with you constantly, always, all right? And then he will be with you continually to the end of the age. So you are not just commissioned by Jesus, you are actually commissioned with Jesus. And you are not doing this alone. You are going with the Lord. You are going with the one who conquered death. You are going with the one who defeated the devil. You are going with the one who holds all authority in heaven and on earth. And you have his presence, you have his purpose, and you have his power and promise every step of the way. So be bold, my friend. Be courageous. Now listen, someday the Great Commission will become the Great Completion. And we know this from the Revelation, that God's global mission will be fulfilled. And one day in heaven, from every race, every tribe, every nation, every language, we'll stand before Jesus Christ and worship him. But until that day, you know, there is work to be done. There are still people who haven't heard the gospel. So my friend, start reaching out to those around you. Relate as a friend. Eat with someone this week. Have coffee. Have a meaningful conversation. Ask caring questions. Listen to the story compassionately. Connect them with your story. Share your story and make sure you share God's story, the good news of Jesus Christ. And final step, you help them to take the next step. Lead them to Jesus. Baptize them. Teach them the word of God. And start today. Start where you are. Start with any of these steps as the Spirit leads you. Just don't do it slow. Do it now, all right? Start where you are. Because in the next 365 days, about 14,000 people in KL and PJ die without knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. About 187,000 people in Malaysia will die without the hope of Christ. 44.1 million people around the world will die hopelessly without Christ. And all of them will die and going to hell. These are not just numbers, they are soul. People are dying hopelessly without Christ. This is not just another sermon, another worship service. It is an invitation. And God is calling you right here, right now. And we heard about the Great Commission many times. We are very familiar. But God is calling us today. Right now, right here. The question is not, are you ready? But the question is, are you willing? And this morning, will you say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I am willing. Here I am. Use me. Lord, use me. So let's stand together. So let's respond with obedience and commitment. Let's stand together as we pray. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to invite you to open your hand as a sign of a surrender. And let this open hand be your, yes, Lord, I'm willing to be part of the Great Commission and help bring about the Great Completion. And let this be your commissioning moment. And would you say with me this morning, Lord, here I am. Empower me to make disciples of all nations. Use me for your glory. So right now, I want to pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for everyone here, including myself. Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see the lost. Give us ear to hear the cries. And give us the boldness in sharing the gospel. And we surrender our comfort, our excuses, our distraction. I pray, Lord, you use our lives to reach the lives around us. One person, one soul. One story at a time. And remind us that we are never alone, for you are with us always to the very end of the age. So as we leave this place, I pray, Lord, you help us to reach someone for Jesus. Reach someone for Jesus. So use us, Lord, this way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. Please be seated. God bless you.